Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Earns.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Hello, this is Mike King with Merryman Herbs. It's a Better Life show, and we are extremely honored today to have with us Dr. Zach Bush. Hi, Dr. Bush. How are you today?
Mike, I'm doing fantastic. Really pleased to be on your show.
Wonderful. We have so much to share. I think this is going to be a three-part series, so I'm kind of warning my listening audience about what's to come. You have so much information. Now, I want to talk a little bit about you first. I hear you're a triple board certified. You're from Virginia. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. That was certainly a non-linear journey. I actually didn't like school much growing up. I was mostly into classic cars and spent most of my middle school and high school in garages, tearing apart old cars and putting them back together again. And so I consider myself kind of an average student and went through that journey with not much anticipation of school and then ended up doing a missions trip. I thought I was going to be an engineer. And, instead of starting college, I went over to the Philippines and lived there for 6 months and worked for the pre- and postnatal care clinic with a group of international midwives. And that
that was
the big shift. And so I suddenly realized that this whole experience of, you know, working with patients and seeing children born into the world in these desperate settings of poverty was a whole massive game changer as to my worldview, my spiritual worldview, and the rest.
Right. Well, I bet, you know, and again, we've got a lot in common because I like classic cars too, so I knew you were a friend just right from the start. I could just tell when I first heard you speak and saw you.
You're a Chevy guy then.
I'm like an every kind of guy, but yeah, Chevys. I love Chevys. In fact, I'll tell you what, we'll just interject this real quick. My first car, and I rebuilt the transmission in high school, was a 1954 Chevy with a power glide transmission. And yeah, my grandmother, it was an old beat up car, but after I was done with it, it was really awesome. So we could talk cars, but this is a health show, so we'll get back up. You and I, we're dangerous. I heard you're a talker and I am too, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, you talked a little bit about midwifery and we're very familiar with that. So obviously in working maybe more in a, I don't want to say primitive environment, but people that would probably use home and folk remedies and natural healing and so forth. So you probably got a really good education there. And I know a lot of doctors that actually go on mission trips and so forth. Some of the best doctors, one of my good friends, an OD doc, Dr. of osteopathy, OD, did mission work. And he's very open to alternatives, which is really interesting because he saw how they work. So anyway, you did all of that. That was kind of your foundation. And then I guess you were an endocrinologist next. Is that kind of how you got into that? And then tell us a little bit about your education, how you became triple board certified in your relationship with some of these other leading doctors and scientists.
Right. Yeah. So at that point, again, not being a real strong student, I didn't see myself becoming a doctor or being able to do that journey. So I thought I'd be a nurse. And so I started to kind of a pre-med kind of curriculum in undergrad instead of the engineering course. And then a couple of months in, the physician assistance programs got started back in the early 1990s there. And so I heard about the PA program. I thought, well, maybe I could do that, another little bit more school and all that. And a couple more years went by, more education. I started to volunteer as an EMT and some of these other things with fire departments. And the more medical exposure I got, the more people kept trying to convince me that I should just go the medical route. And so I ended up doing that. And so dove into medical school, kind of not knowing at all what I was getting myself into. And that was probably a good thing. I probably wouldn't have done it if I had realized it was not a lot longer journey than 4 years. Mine ended up being 17 years.
I heard 17, yes. Wow.
And kept going. So finished medical school at the University of Colorado in Denver and then went out to the University of Virginia and dove into a three-year program there in internal medicine. And internal medicine is kind of the foundation of all the subspecialties of medicine that you would expect to be played in the inpatient and outpatient clinic environments, things like pulmonology, cardiology, renal, and all these. And so I went ahead and did the internal medicine, rose to kind of the top of the class there, and did a year as a chief resident, which is a faculty year of just teaching medical students and residents, and really enjoyed that experience, kind of refined a lot.
So you were a teacher then?
Yeah, it's one of my biggest passions.
Awesome. Did you know that the term or definition for doctor is teacher?
Yeah, actually, it has come up. Yeah, I think that's cool. Where I've returned to, actually. That's how I practice medicine these days, is I'm just an educator.
You
can walk into my clinic, and we're going to walk away with a lot of information, and you're unlikely to walk away with a prescription.
Oh, how awesome.
That's definitely returning to those roots of education. So from there, I went ahead, and as you mentioned, I did another fellowship. This is a three-year subspecialty in endocrinology and metabolism, which is the study of hormones and how they control your body and how they control health and disease. And then the metabolism side is the study of mitochondria, which are these little cells that live inside your cells.
They're powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah.
Very important.
And the powerhouse of the cell. And so they look like bacteria.
They're kind of like bacteria. They kind of are bacteria.
Yeah, they're
the way they function.
Very similar to a bacteria. They're actually a double-celled organism. Uh-huh. They have a cell within a cell. Their DNA, interestingly, looks like that of a virus. So it's got this kind of microbiome living inside each of your cells, and without those, you would die. You cannot produce enough energy for a single cell to survive a day. So
it's your spark plug.
We're completely reliant on this inner microbiome.
Right, right. So, okay, you were doing the endocrinology, and then somehow you got into some cancer research?
Yeah, so during that time, I started studying the neuroendocrine cancers, cancer that arise from the endocrine organs, and in that journey started to design some chemotherapy out of vitamin A compounds. And
interesting,
it took me a few years. You know, this was how far I was down the kind of darkness of the allopathic medical world.
Okay, I want to interject here real quick, and this is very interesting because I think you're probably familiar with the ATBC study, the tocopherol beta carotene. You notice on a lot of these studies they use the synthetic vitamins.
That's right.
And it's very like the vitamin E, DL, tocopherol. And I know I'm talking Greek to some people, but they will use these synthetic vitamins that are basically made from petroleum, you know, coal tar, what I consider carcinogenic originating substances. And we can get into a lot of, you know, pulling from natural, and you've got a lot to share with the probiotics and all how all that works. But if you're going to start with something that is synthetic and carcinogenic, how in the world would it ever be, you know, useful? It just doesn't make any sense. So obviously you were using the natural forms of the vitamin A rather than the synthetic?
I wish that was true.
I was
using synthetic pharmaceutical grade chemicals that were in these vitamin A compounds.
Yeah.
And I was definitely on the dark side of the equation here, developing chemotherapy compounds that were quite toxic. They were did a lot of liver damage, et cetera. And so, but it did crack the door for me. And so suddenly, you know, after by this time I'd been, you know, separated from any reality in this medical allopathic environment for 15 years, and I'd kind of lost sight of where human health springs from and all of that. I was not practicing a good nutrition in my own life. I was suffering health consequences.
Right.
I was pushing my body and mind hard, but I was not giving it what it needed. So yeah, I was very separated from it, but suddenly started to realize, yeah, like you mentioned, beta carotene from carrots and all this stuff, and started realizing, you know what, there's something to this nutrition thing, because in my diabetes practice, remember I was
studying cancer under
in the microscope, but in clinic I was seeing diabetes and the like, and there were some books coming out in the mid-2000s that were really interesting. One of them from Neil Barnard that was a book called Reversing Diabetes.
Yes, I'm familiar with that book. Wonderful
and
book.
That book changed my whole viewpoint. I trained at what was called the third best endocrine program in the whole world.
Right.
And so I thought I was the top of the heap, and nobody had mentioned to me in all that training that I could reverse diabetes, let alone with just something like nutrition. And so when I first got handed the book by one of my patients, actually, I kind of laughed and said, well, this sounds unlikely, but I went ahead and started reading it that night, and it was just a page-turner for me. I couldn't believe I had not been taught this stuff in my endocrine program, so
well, you know,
major shift for me.
Yeah, it's not any doctor's fault, but they are basically trained to diagnose symptoms in which they can prescribe a pharmaceutical, and pharmaceuticals are basically deadly, dangerous, human-made, synthetic, toxic, flat-earth medicine, pharmaceutical, you know, poisons, if you want to put it that way. I mean, I'm pulling a bunch of words from a bunch of different areas. Don't beat me up, people, please, on this. But, you know, we could go on and on about all of that. But we're finding that, you know, the body, and I don't know if you're familiar with this. I'm sure you are. I kind of simplified. I know Dr. Teitelbaum kind of has a more scientific way of looking at it. But I always like to tell my customers, my listening audience, that there's four more modalities of healing. And the product that we're going to eventually talk about really fits into this, but you have to nutritionally support yourself. You have to balance yourself. And that can include adaptogenic tonic herbs and all kinds of things, you know, reaching that home, what we call homeostasis. And then you have to do the detoxification. And then the fourth most and final component is what we kind of consider the three pillars of health, the mental, emotional, and spiritual. So nutrition, detoxification, balancing, and the three pillars of health. Those are the modalities or methods that are you really need to look at for like a functional medical look or so forth. Are you kind of in agreement? Is this going along with what you practice?
Yeah, I would say that is very much in line.
Cool. All right. So you were doing this, you were an endocrinologist, you were getting into the cancer research, you had gotten this phenomenal book, and it was about diabetes, and it was kind of changing. It was that from, again, what was the book again?
Dr. Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and so, go ahead.
This was a collision of events, you know, and so at this point, nutrition was starting to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And then one afternoon, I was studying cancer in my lab and looking at these cancer cells that grow through healthy planes of tissue. And then minutes later, I was running over to clinic, late for clinic, and sat down in the exam chair and was presented with this diabetic patient who had a major infected ulcer on his ankle. And so I spent the next hour debriding this wound in his ankle. And partway through that journey, I suddenly realized that the appearance of this necrotic damaged dead tissue within his ankle was abutting this healthy tissue, and all the world looked exactly like this cancer cell interaction with normal human tissue. So
wow, kind of an epiphany
that said maybe everything is the same. And that was a radical departure for me, because I had really been led to believe that we had thousands of different diseases that needed thousands of different pharmaceutical interventions.
That's good for business.
Yeah. And so it was a radical shift for me to start to question maybe that $200,000 education I went into debt for was actually just overcomplication of a very simple reality that there is no such thing as disease. There's only a lack of health. And that was the big shift.
Wow. You are special. You actually have a vision that I don't see very often. I deal with some of the leading doctors and scientists, and they're all very enlightened people, and they're all very intellectual, but it's hard to find an intellectual that's conceptual and perceptual. And that's a very phenomenal trait to have. So,
they probably didn't spend their first 10 years of education working on cars.
No, but that was fun, I'm sure. And you know that I always, and this is so interesting, and I'll just call you Zach. I think everybody should be respectful and call you Dr. Bush, but you're my friend. So anyway, Dr. Bush, you know, the body's kind of like a car, and I use that a lot as an analogy. I mean, you know, you get sometimes doctors that'll want to give you 50,000 IUs of vitamin D or a high dose of B12, and I'll be like, well, you know, the body works like a carburetor. You need a little bit of gas all the time to keep it running. Big doses, you know, of something is going to flood the engine. And I also tell my customers when a doctor wants to give them a high dose of, say, a nutritional supplement, a lot of them are synthetic anyway, like a vitamin or something, I'll just tell them to say, hey, you know, am I a camel or am I a bear? You know, I my body is not, the human body is not set up to get massive quantities. It does so much better slow, steady, every day, multiple doses. You know that. Everybody in the industry knows that. The leading doctors know that. And this high dose stuff is actually many times very, very hard on your body. And of course, you get into that with the chemo and all of that kind of stuff. So you had this epiphany. I always go off on tangents, and I think my listening audience is used to it. And so I kind of noticed you like to do that too. You're brilliant. So we'll try to keep focused here. Okay, so you were an endocrinologist, and you were dealing with a diabetic patient. You'd read this book, Dr. Barnard. Then you saw this cancer, or you were working with cancer, and then you saw this analogous situation, epiphany, light came on. Then what happened?
Well, then I had a choice. You know, I was either going to completely change directions with everything or not. And so it took me almost a year of kind of struggling with that. And then, the universe and God can answer that one for me by closing all the other doors until I walked through the one I needed to go through. So we had a huge recession going at the time, you'll recall. And
yes,
the recession led to a collapse of funding from the NIH for our university.
Right.
We lost the funding of our general clinical research center. And so I lost the funding for my research. So I lost my faculty position at UVA. And so I suddenly found myself having to walk through the one door that I had been terrified to move through, which was start my own clinic. And so I started a nutrition center to reverse chronic disease in the central Virginia, and I picked the poorest county in Virginia to serve. And so I felt like if I couldn't figure out a nutrition plan that was going to help heal the heartland of America that was living in food deserts, then we were really going to fail as a nation to really get at any, you know, real solution to this epidemic of chronic disease that we're faced with.
Oh, and it's a plague. It's a plague. So you kind of had an enlightenment and what I would consider a calling. So you actually went through what we call a paradigm shift, which is, you know, paradigm is a scientific way of looking at things. So you went through this paradigm shift of, and again, I kind of jokingly say flat earth conventional medicine to more of a holistic, functional, natural, medical, enlightened, holistic look at health. So how did this progress now? So you've had this kind of change in your life. You're now, I guess, you're opening up a clinic. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was terrifying. Yeah. I was suddenly a real doctor. When you're in academia, yeah, you don't have to be a real doctor.
Right.
You see patients a couple half days a week, and you don't take any real responsibility for people's outcomes. You don't have to take real responsibility for a patient's whole life. And suddenly I was a rural doctor, and I was seeing everything. I was seeing farming accidents. I was suturing patients up again for the first time in years. I was seeing everything from common cold to advanced cancers. I was at bedsides at people's homes in this little community.
Wow.
As they died, I was really being a physician for the first time in my life, and it was terrifying. It was exhilarating. It was a huge education, and
yes,
it was really humbling journey. And that was, you know, really the beginning of a new education that has now been going on for the last 8 years, and really the most valuable part of my entire career.
Okay, and you still have your clinic? You're still practicing?
I am.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, I bet you're very busy. I know you're very busy because it's kind of hard to even get a hold of you. You're an extremely busy person, but that's because you're doing so much, Zach. Anyway, okay, so that's kind of your history. You've got this clinic. You're seeing, evidently, you're seeing all kinds of things. You've had a lot of experience. You've been in academia. You're now out practicing. You like to work on cars, so you have a kind of mechanical aspect. I'm kind of curious why you didn't become a surgeon, because you were talking about surgery and you like to work on cars, and I know a lot of surgeons that are kind of that way. But anyway, this was your calling, obviously, for this discovery. So how... Okay, so now you're practicing. What's going on? What's the next step of this discovery?
Well, at this point, you know, I had to learn nutrition. And so, you know, certainly Neil Barnard's book was kind of a crack in the door. But by this time, I'd been studying nutrition for a year and a half pretty intensively and had settled on kind of a plant-based, low on the food chain approach to feeding and nutrients at high density rather than drugs at high density. And so...
Okay.
We were juicing our patients. We were doing short-term fasts. We were doing all kinds of different tricks to get the biology working again. And the journey was not linear again. We saw a lot of patients almost immediately resolving diabetes with these miraculous results that I could have never imagined a couple of years earlier in the pharmaceutical model. And really great joy happening. Our clinic exploded. I never spent a dime for marketing my clinic. It just blew up on me because the word of mouth was so huge when people started healing stuff. And, of course, I wasn't the healer. We're each intrinsic healers. And equipped with the healing capacity, we just do it.
It takes the individual. It takes the individual to basically become their doctor or take control of their body and work with somebody that's very qualified and can help them, you know, kind of show them the path. But it's always ultimately their own decision on their healing pathway. Very interesting.
That's it. And so the one stubborn part of this was that there was a good third or 40% of my patients that, despite doing everything I asked them to do, were not getting better. In fact, we were watching health food cause more inflammation in these patients, and that was a really difficult thing for me to wrap my mind around.
Yes, it would be. And I kind of heard you talk about this before. Tell us about that. That, I mean, I need to caution everybody right now. You are going to do a major paradigm shift with the way we think about diet and probiotics and some of the things that are used, the herbicides. We're going to get into a little bit of that. And you're going to kind of give us a whole new way of thinking. But obviously, your way of thinking is working for many, 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 many people, and I'm very excited about this. So, okay, what's going on here now?
So we literally saw kale and some of these superfoods that have been respected for decades increasing inflammation in our patients. And so we had to start asking complicated questions about, you know, what's in the food, what is the nutrients in the food, is it lacking something, is it got something it shouldn't have, which quickly led us down a pathway to asking questions about the soil the food was grown in. And this is where some massive just aha moments happened.
Oh, my. I know where you're going here. You are so scientific. Okay, everybody, listen. This is very interesting.
And so at that moment, I was going through a 90-page white paper on soil science and found a large carbon-backed molecule that had some three-dimensional structures in it that looked a lot like the chemotherapy I had been designing.
Oh, my.
And that was a stunning moment where I suddenly realized, wow, through all of human history, way back to Chinese medicine 6,000 years ago, we've been looking to our plants for medicine.
Yes,
what
of course.
What if we missed something in the soil? What if the real medicine and its source is deep in the soil? And that was just a massive aha moment, and it suddenly tied in this whole reality of, oh my gosh, this is why organic farming, this is why healthy soil is so critical to the life around it, is that the medicine or the foundation of health is literally down in this in the healthy soil.
Amen. I want to interject something here real quick, because I've thought about this for a long time. The gut microbiome, or your gut friend, the core of your immune system, the core of everything for your body, it even affects your psychological aspect, is basically bacteria. So you kind of have soil or something like the soil in, and I hate to use the term, but in your gut, your small and large intestine mainly, but also your even into your nasal passages. So you have this gut friend. But now if we look at the plants, the soil is basically where all that bacteria is, and that's kind of the gut for the plants, and that's where your minerals are metabolized and put into the plant, put into the vegetables. So there's that connection there. So the soil is kind of the digestive system or holds the microbiome for the plant, and then the plant is able to metabolize minerals and nutrients and all of that from this nurturing analogous gut friend, the soil, and then we eat the plant, and then there's a second stage of our bacteria again, enabling it to get into our body. So it's the same process that the plants use that we use, and it's a key for us to be able to use what the plants have done. It's like a second stage. I mean, this gets so, so exciting. Now, not to get too ahead, but I am thinking you're going to kind of look for the best soil that's going to put all this together.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the big questions, because what we found out was exactly what you just said, which is this chemical structure, this nutrient structure that we found in the soil that would have medicinal properties to it was actually being made by the microbiome. So not just the bacteria, but the fungi actually way outstripped the bacteria as far as diversity.
Yes, and how many was it? Is it like 30 million or something bacteria, maybe? And
so
1.5 million?
We have 1.5 quadrillion bacteria in our bodies. That is representing somewhere around 30 to 40,000 species.
30 to 40,000, right. Okay. And then there's like 1.5 million of the fungus?
We have 5 million of species of fungi.
Oh, 5 million now. Wow.
5 million species of fungi. So this huge
so diverse
ecosystem lives in the soils and in our environment around us, as well as within our human bodies. And that ecosystem is producing this massive family. And so we knew that pretty quickly, as soon as we started to uncover this, it was clear that each species of bacteria, fungi, et cetera, that produces these carbon molecules is making a different version of it. And so you can imagine the ultimate kind of pharmaceutical discovery in the that you could possibly make is that you have 5 million different species working to make their own medicines for the human body. And that's the reality of a healthy microbiome around us. And so
I have always been told
down that journey.
Yes.
Of, like you said, of, well, where do you find that healthy soil? Where are you going to find that kind of biodiversity?
Right. And
the answer is it's hard to find on the current topsoil of the planet, because we have sprayed
Oh, I know.
Currently around 4.5 billion pounds of an antibiotic into the soils of the world. That antibiotic is called Roundup or glyphosate.
Right, right.
And that chemical, it was never patented as a weed killer. That chemical Roundup or that's in Roundup, which is the glyphosate, is been patented as an antibiotic, antifungal, and the rest.
Wow. I think that's going to be new for a lot of people to know. Zach, we're kind of getting short on time here. So you are searching for this pristine soil. And I want to let everybody know that we're going to probably do at least two more segments, but we wanted to give you the foundation of this discovery. So you're looking for this pristine soil that's going to be a key in enabling a lot of things for the gut microbiome. And there's a lot of things that occur, the tightening of the cells, the ability to quell the immune system or calm it down, to enable the body to get more nutrients kind of is a key. This is getting very exciting. So what kind of, real quickly, we've got about a minute or so, what kind of soil are we looking for here? And real quickly, an old adage is like, if you got sick, you know, they'd have you, used to be an old saying, eat some real clean dirt and that'll get you back on track. So where are you going for this real clean dirt?
Well, we're going back in time. And so we had to go back 50 million years to find a layer of soil that was as rich as we were looking for. And so it turns out that soil compresses down into fossils and then ultimately into coal eventually.
Wow.
And if you catch it halfway on its way to coal, you catch this layer of fossil soil that's rich in nutrients still.
Kind of a little
coal
after peat then.
Its carbon structure and has lost its nutrients.
Uh-huh.
But we've caught this layer of 50 million year old soil in this fossil state where you still have this living potential. And we extract these carbon molecules from there, and then we bring it back to our laboratories
right
here, and we do a mineral bath to get those things back turned on, and then we get what is extraordinary, which is a communication network from the microbiome of 50 million years ago coming back into interplay with human beings. And that's been an extraordinary journey.
Wow, and it's the finished product is called Terrahydrite. Is that your trademark on that?
The Terrahydrite is family of the carbon molecules that are coming from the bacteria and fungi. That's it.
Awesome. Well, we are basically out of time. We're going to talk about next up the Terrahydrite, the lignite, the actual mechanism. Dr. Bush, it has been an honor and a pleasure to speak with you today. You are a wealth of information, and I just wanted to give my listening audience a good foundation, and I think we've done that. So thank you so very much for your time.
Best of health to all of you.
Welcome to Merryman Herbs. It's a Better Life show. Listen every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on News Talk 1340 WSOY for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you up-to-date, scientifically-based health news and fun, interesting health tips, plus interviews with some of the leading doctors, scientists, and nutraceutical educators in the country. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life.
Life just got a little better. Thanks to Merryman Herbs.